Turn back to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. About a year ago, I preached from this scripture, this portion of scripture, in Rocky Mount, Virginia. And my pastor, Henry, said to me, "The next time you preach, you bring that again." Well, I've preached many times since. This past week, we had a nephew to die. And this came back to my mind. This scripture, this portion of scripture just came back to me. And I'd been wrestling on the subject of what to preach today. And that kind of nailed it for me. And the title of it is, "Are You Prepared to Die?" Are you prepared? That's a serious subject, isn't it? Sobering subject. Are you prepared to die? Paul Mahan called me weeks ago. And, of course, I have caller ID. And I said, "Hello, Paul." He said, "John," he said, "you can die now." I said, "Okay." That's the way he said it. He said, "You can die now." He said, "You've seen the Lord." And then he began to tell me of a message that he heard me preach. He'd just listened to it. And he said, "I'm convinced you've seen the Lord." He said, "You can die now." And I knew the scripture, Simeon, when he looked into the face of Christ, he said, "Now let me die." And I said, "Thank you." Thank you. But that's, that's so. That's when you can die, is when you've seen Him. I mean, really seen Him. Now, someone may think that this is going to be a depressing sermon. And I say that depends on your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, whether it is or not. Turn over to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation. Chapter 21. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful.'" Now I ask you, did I read anything that's depressing? Is there anything about that depressing? Not at all. Now, if you don't love God, if you do not believe God, if you do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, it'll still be depressing to you. But that's not depressing. I make all things new. I wipe away all tears. I look forward to that day. I look forward to it. I'm tired of dying. Tired of crying. As my pastor said, I'll be glad when we quit dying. I'll be glad when we don't do that no more. I'll be glad. Paul said this, "For me to live is Christ. Christ is my life. He's my reason for existence. And to die is nothing but pure gain." I want that. I want what Paul's got here. One of these days, I'm going to preach on the, I've just been thinking about this for weeks and weeks and weeks, on the, it's in Acts chapter 20, on the apex of discipleship. Paul said, I count not my life dear to me. My life means nothing to me on this earth. Christ means everything. Christ means everything. That's our goal. Our goal in this life is for Christ to mean everything. And for not to count this life or my life dear to me. Not at all. It says in 1 Corinthians 15 that this mortal must put on immortality. And this corruption is corruptible, must put on incorruption. That's what's going to happen to the believer. Well, let's talk about this for a little bit. Let's get serious with this for a little bit. Are you prepared to die? Are you? Just look at the cause of death. Every time someone dies, there's a cause of death given. Heart attack, cancer. But the real cause is never given. Sin. You'll never read in the paper that their mother died from sin. That sounds a little too bad, doesn't it? That just sounds a little too bad to put in the paper. It sounds better to die of cancer than to die of sin. But which one's right? Which one did I really die from? Which one is this body really going to die from? I'm going to die from sin. Sin. No report has ever given the truth that sin is the cause of our death. That's it. When sin is conceived, it says in Romans, when sin is conceived, it brings forth death. And when is sin conceived? The day I'm conceived. The day my mother and father, the day I was conceived, sin was conceived. And I started on that path. The day I was born, I started on that path. Because sin is conceived. And there's no cure for sin. Therefore, there is no cure for death. We try to keep living longer and longer. They lived 900 years in Genesis. And then what's it say about every one of them? And they died. And look how fast that's gone. The brevity of that, like that. Unbelievable. Goes by so fast. Men keep trying to live longer, but we still die. The medical field is always treating the symptoms of sin. But they can never treat sin. Never. They can never deal with sin. Never. And here's the reality of it. All die. Statistics prove that one out of every one person dies. Statistic proves that. You think we'd pay attention, don't you? We like stats, don't we? You sports guys, you like stats. I mean, you can rattle off stats of this, that one. Well, here's your stat. Everyone dies. Take that one home. Everyone dies. That's why Solomon said it's good to go to the house of the mourning. The living will lay at the heart. The living, those who are made alive in Christ. I tell you what, you go to the visitation and funeral, there's more dead there than that one laying in the casket. The living know that. They know that. All die. No one is still alive on this earth since the beginning. No one. The newspapers always. How many of you? I don't take the paper. I bet you. How many of you take the paper and the first thing you turn to is obituary? See who died. You say, "Oh, do you know? Can you believe so and so died?" Well, God said they would. You'd think we wouldn't be so surprised, would we? I know when the young ones die, we get surprised, but you know what? God said so. He said it's appointed, but their life is cut short. No, it's not. Nobody's life's cut short.
Our months, Job said, are with him. Like a hireling, we fulfill our days. My days may just be 50 years or 60. Well, it's past 50 now, but it may just be 60 years. It may be, you know, somebody's life might be 25 years. Their life wasn't cut short. It was determined of God. And that's it. That's it, brethren. God gives life and God takes it when it's time. There's a time to be born and there's a time to die. Our Lord said that not even a sparrow falls to the ground without your heavenly Father. It can't die until He calls its life away. Can't do it. Can't do it. You can go to the graveyard. You'll see the year they were born. Then you'll see the year they died. And right between those two dates, you're going to see a dash. That dash is your life. That's your life. Your life is a dash. Literally. Literally. We are fully aware. And the older I get, the more funerals I attend, and the more I realize, one day that'll be me. I preached my first cousin's funeral months ago. And I said to him, the first thing I said to him, I said, here we are again. Because not too long before that, I'd preached my aunt's. And not too long before that, I'd preached my uncle's. And I said, we'll be here again. We'll be here again. We must also recognize here that it's an appointment made by God. And God keeps His appointments. He keeps His appointments. When Adam fell, sin entered the world, and death entered. And God said, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. Have you sinned? Get in line. Just get in line. Now it says here, and here's the part that makes people afraid. Here's the part that makes them afraid. After this, judgment. Judgment. We do not die like animals. We are responsible human beings. And our soul, we exist and live forever, either with Christ or separated from Christ. Torment. That's so. That's so. Death brings judgment. Let me show you something. Read over in Revelation chapter 20. We can't skip over these things. We can't just jump to the good parts all the time. We've got to deal with truth. It's my responsibility to stand here and deal with these things also. It's my responsibility. Paul said he was free from the blood of all men. He said, I did not shun to tell all the counsel of God. Didn't do it. Revelation 20, look in verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. What did our Lord say in John 14? I go and prepare a place for you. I prepare a place for you. But here are some that there is no place for. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. I saw all of them, all the kings of the earth and all the paupers, all gathered there, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things. Every thought, every idle word. You know, Scripture says you'll be judged for every idle word. Written down. Right here in the books. Your life laid out.
your secret thoughts, the secret intents of your heart laid out. These are the ones who stand without Christ. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. He's not just... Oh, the minuteness of this judgment. Recorded. Your life. Imagine this. Your life recorded. Your life. According to their works. According to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Brethren, this is real stuff. This is real. And the judge is none other than Jesus Christ. He's the judge of all of the quick and the dead and the living. All judgment, he said, has been turned over to him. All judgment, all authority, turned over to him. And the judge of the earth will do right. It says in Psalm 119, 75, that his judgments are right. Righteous. Righteous. He'll give every man what he deserves, no more, no less. I had a man say to me this week, he was just talking about his wages and stuff. He said, all I want is what I deserve. Well, I can assure you God will give that. God will give that. He'll give you just what you deserve and nothing more, not 1 ounce more or 1 ounce less. And this judge cannot be bribed. He has no political agenda. And he can't be made to feel sorry. Can't be made to feel sorry. Should have listened. Should have listened when he spoke on earth. But I am so thankful. I am so thankful that verse 27 does not end with a period. It does not end with a period. Look in verse 28. It leads us to hope. It tells us the truth. It tells us the truth. It's appointed unto men once to die. And then it gives us the hope of those who die. If we have any hope at all, here it is. Verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, to bear the torment I deserve, to bear my hell. That's what he did. He took my death. That rich man who lifted up his eyes in torment. And he said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus. Let him dip his finger in water and cool the tip of my tongue. That's the torment my Lord took. He cried, I thirst. He took the same torment that man was taking, except he was taking it for many, many sinners. Many sinners. We find in verse 28 someone else standing in the gap. Someone else taking my death, your death, if you believe. If you believe God. Now, if you don't believe God, I can't say that. I can't say that. It maybe did, maybe didn't. Maybe didn't. But if you believe God, I can say that. But we find here substitution. Christ was once offered. Not many times, one time. He got the job done. He got the job done. For all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, judgment is past. We have nothing to fear. I have nothing to fear in death. Not if I know Christ. Not if I believe on Him. Not if He's my Lord, my Savior, my righteousness, my all in all. I have nothing to fear. rejoice. I have all but rejoicing. We have a lot to rejoice about. No more sorrow. Is that something to rejoice about? Think about those who go on. I have to say, when I read this, I thought of Earl. I did. I thought of Earl. I thought he's there with no more sorrow, no more sin, happy, joyful. I mean, I don't know why, but he just crossed my mind. Now, would you change that? Bring one of them back here to shoot you. Ought to anyway. Oh my. He bore the sins of many sinners. And I can tell you who they are. You interested? Are you interested in who these many are that he died for? It tells us right there in the verse. And unto them that are looking for him, shall he appear the second time without sin, because that issue is already dealt with, unto salvation. Are you looking for him? He died for you. I can say that. I can say that. Are you looking for him to appear? Do you want him to appear? Would you like for him to hold off? You got some other things you'd like to do, like to accomplish. Are you looking for him, really? Is he that real to you? Is Jesus Christ that real to you? Christianity is not a religion. It's the living God. If you're looking for him, then he died for you. He took your judgment. It says in Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and his glorious appearing. Oh, my. I would that I could get up, because I don't do this, and I know you don't either. But wouldn't it be great if we could be of such a mindset that we could get up in the morning and go to the window and see if he's coming? Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't it be nice to get to that point in life where you just got up first and looked for him to appear? And if not, you just get your lunch bucket and go to work and do his will for that day, and hopefully he'll appear the next day. Or the next. But I assure you one thing, one by one, he's going to appear. And you that are looking for him, you that are looking for him, he's coming to get you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will what? Come again and receive you to myself. When you see a believer die or leave this life, the Lord just came for him or her and received them. We've had some in this congregation that it's happened to. The Lord has come and taken them home. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus Christ died for sinners. He didn't die for good people. There's not any. There's just not any. Let's just settle that now. God said there's not any. I didn't say that. I didn't say it. You want to get mad at somebody, get mad at God. He's the one who said it. He said there's not any good ones. And I think he's a pretty good judge of character, don't you? A lot better than we are. That's why he told us to leave the wheat and the tares alone. Let them grow together, because you're going to mess it up. You and I will mess it up every time. We'll pluck up the wrong ones. Who in the world would ever thought Lot would have been just Lot? Or vex his righteous soul? Yeah, you wouldn't have thought that. Not one good thing said about that man throughout the scriptures, except that. He's just Lot and righteous. Of course, we know his righteousness is that of Christ, not his own. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus Christ died for sinners. He rose the third day. He's seated at God's right hand. He's making intercession. Doing this for sinners, a bunch of no good people. Christ died for the ungodly. Ungodly. That just opens the door wide open for me. He died for sinners and ungodly. He got me on both shots. That's good news, brother. That's good news. We have nothing to fear in judgment if we are looking for Him to appear. For in Him you are complete. Now, and I'm going to close. How important is the death of Christ to you? How important is His death to you? It's everything. His death is the death of my death. I don't have to worry about it. He took the sting out of it. He took the sting out of death. One sacrifice for sin forever. Nothing new. I don't have to sacrifice anything for it now. Not alone. How important now? How important is my union to Christ? Absolutely everything, everything, every relationship, everything in this life pales in comparison to my relationship to Jesus Christ. Everything. Nothing else matters. What I accomplish absolutely doesn't matter. What I don't accomplish doesn't matter. When I die, what do you say about me, or like that's going to change anything? It's my relationship to the Son of God. It's my union to Him. That means everything. Everything. Again, I ask, are you prepared to die? Are you really? Is Christ your hope? Is He your sin bearer, your high priest, your all in all? Are you prepared to meet God? If you're looking for Him, you are. If you're looking for Him. Listen to this scripture, and I close with this. Ezekiel 33:11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Now that's everybody who does not believe God. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil way, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Scott Richardson said this, why will you die when the water is so close by?